Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to earnings call of Nemetschek Group. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all the participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Stefanie Zimmermann, Vice President, Investor Relations, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and hello, everybody, and welcome to our conference call. Thank you for joining us to discuss our results for the second quarter and the first half of 2020. Today's conference call is being recorded. A replay of the call will be available at our website after the call. As always, we have prepared a presentation with the most important figures and highlights of the second quarter and the first half of this year. You will find the presentation, the half-year report, and the press release on our investor relations website as well. But now let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to our spokesman, Axel Kaufmann, who will lead you through the presentation. So go ahead, Axel.
Thank you, Steffi, and also a warm welcome from my side to our earnings call. As usual, we have prepared a little slide deck that I would like to briefly walk you through so that we have enough time afterwards for your questions. Let's start with a quick overview of the key figures for our second quarter on page number three. In short, our second quarter came in a bit better than we initially had anticipated back in March. Our reported growth for Q2 increased by 2.7% to 142 million euros. Excluding slight foreign exchange tailwind, as well as the contribution from recent acquisitions, our organic development was basically flat year-over-year. As one could have expected, our top-line growth was mainly driven by our recurring revenues, so maintenance and subscription sales, which increased by more than 21%. In contrast, our license revenues recorded a strong decline of more than  18.5%, although the decline was less pronounced than initially expected. With a challenging quarter ahead, we temporarily stepped up our cost-saving efforts in the second quarter, which, together with our better-than-expected top-line performance, resulted in a very strong second quarter margin of  28.8%. However, please let me highlight that the strong margin in the second quarter should not simply be extrapolated into the coming quarters. As we highlighted already earlier, our main priority is to set up the company for future growth, and we will therefore continue to invest in the second half in efficiency and growth initiatives at the same time. In addition, an unfavorable foreign exchange development that is likely to happen, in particular of the USD versus the euro, could also potentially impact our margin during the second half of the year. In contrast to our EBITDA, our earnings per share slightly decreased to 0.18 per share. The sole reason for the decline are the increased PPA charges due to our previous acquisitions of Red Giant and Redshift. Adjusting for this effect, our EPS grew in the second quarter by 4.8%. Summarizing, a better-than-expected result in the second quarter, which concludes a very solid first half, which we detail on the following slides. Page four once again gives you a summary of our key business highlights in the first half. Similar to Q2, the main drivers were our recurring revenues with a growth of around 24%, as well as our international markets with a growth of around 8%. We will be talking about this in more depth in a moment. In addition to what we have shown already in the second quarter, our high cash conversion of almost 95% once again underpins the high quality of our balance sheet as well as our earnings. Then, if you look at the right side of this slide, you can see an overview of our M&A or special activities. As communicated earlier, we acquired ADAPT, the market leader for concrete structural design in the U.S., at the beginning of second quarter. During the first 6 months of the year, we also moved forward with the integration of Red Giant and Redshift in the media division, which is progressing as planned. To summarize, again, with our solid start into the year and together with our swift reaction and decisive measures to cope with the effects of the global COVID-19 pandemic, we believe we have a strong basis for the upcoming, still uncertain and challenging months ahead. Moving on to page number 5, which gives you a good overview of the growth in our different regions in the second quarter and also in the first half of 2020. As expected, Q2 showed a substantial slowdown in growth compared to last year, as well as Q1, driven by the negative effect of the global COVID-19 pandemic. Looking at the single regions, our European business suffered overproportionally in the second quarter with a decline of -4.1%. Within Europe, the UK -25% and Eastern Europe -17% are impacted the most, while the German market proved to be relatively resilient with a decline of only almost -3%. Apart from Europe, also the US market showed a clear deceleration of growth, and we currently expect that the very high level of uncertainty will last, unfortunately, into Q3 at last. However, together with our strong first quarter, we were still able to achieve a very solid first half of the year, which was set before, and along the entire AEC life cycle, we believe that one of these reasons for the result is also the strong regional diversification, including the portfolio. Those of you who have been already following us for a longer time know that one of the main objectives and always an important discussion point was and is the topic of growing the recurring revenues. If anything, the recent events in the first 6 months of the year have further amplified the importance of these better predictable and more resilient revenues. So let's look at the revenue distribution between our categories, recurring, consulting, hardware, as well as our traditional perpetual license business, all to be found on the following page number 6. As mentioned previously, we're very pleased to note that the strong increase in our recurring revenue with the reported growth of 24% year over year and still 19.4% on an organic and FX adjusted basis. This translates into a sharp advancement of 8 percentage points of the recurring revenue category, which now accounts for more than 60% of our total sales for the first time in company's history. Within the recurring category, I would like to highlight our subscription revenues, which almost doubled to 40 million euro. This already represents a share of 14% of our total sales compared to the just 8% last year. In contrast, our perpetual license business recorded a less satisfying development with a decline in revenues of 11% and even 18.5% in the second quarter alone. Main reasons for the decline were a course of slower customer demand due to the COVID-19, especially in our design segment, as well as the ongoing move to a subscription-only model by, for example, Maxon, which was started already back in the Q3 last year. On page number 7, we again provide an overview of our most important KPIs. We've already addressed our revenue and EBITDA development in detail previously. So going on and down the P&L, you see that the EBIT and earnings per share increased somewhat underproportional during the first half of the year. We also covered that in the previous commentary, resulting as a sole function of higher PPA charges. I would like to also draw your attention to some of the numbers that we haven't touched on so far during this call. For example, the again very strong operating cash flow of almost 78.2 million euros in the first half, which underpins the high quality of our earnings, as said before. But last but not least, we further improved also the quality of our balance sheet, represented in important metrics such as in the equity ratio, which is now standing at 43.3% compared to 40.7% last year, and at a very low net debt position at euro 31 million. Furthermore, we recently announced that we have secured an additional 200 million euros in credit lines, whereas we have made use of the currently favorable credit market conditions for Nemetschek Group. Therefore, our extremely solid balance sheet and virtually no debt provide us with a higher degree of safety going forward while enabling us to act flexibly and opportunistically should interesting opportunities rise up in the coming months and quarters. Now, to conclude my view on the first half numbers, let's look at our 4 segments on page number 8. Starting on the left side, our design segment recorded the weakest development in Q2 with -5.3% on a currency-adjusted basis and -2.1% for the entire first half. As we already indicated in our last conference call, design was the first segment to be impacted from muted customer demand since March. However, we were still able to preserve our margin at the high level that you're used to. Our build segment, which with almost 8% up year over year, showed a very resilient development in the second quarter, with the largest contribution coming again from Bluebeam and still in the absence of a major COVID-19 impact. Our managed segment showed a similar picture with a plus 12% year-over-year in the first half, but was more negatively affected in its service-related activities in the second quarter, for example, with limited access to customers' properties and buildings in the service area. But last but not least, our media segment presented a satisfactory development. While reported growth of 55% was strongly impacted by the first-time consolidation of Red Giant, integration costs and the recent move to subscription by Maxon posted an expected but negative drag on organic growth and profitability. Before we now move to the financial guidelines for the remainder of 2020, let me quickly highlight two important strategic initiatives besides our ongoing CSR activities that we recently started and to which we're committed to also be driven in the future. You might remember that slide number 10, which shows our ongoing commitment to sustainability, also in more difficult times like today. As you probably know, the footprint of the building and construction industry in general, here listed on the left side of this page, is not really great, to say it politely. You can therefore rest assured that our customers very much appreciate the improvements in efficiency and productivity that they obtain by using our software along the entire value chain. We therefore have initiated a series of projects to not only further improve our own footprint, but also to continue to significantly improve the so-called handprint which our customers create by using our software. In order to make our sustainability approach and the benefits of our product portfolio more tangible for you, we provided, moving on slide 11, a wide variety of real-world examples along the entire construction lifecycle. It starts already in the design phase, where our brands, for example, Altplan, Graphisoft, or Vectorworks, can help our clients to minimize the amount of construction materials used in a specific project. For example, by using the leading software solutions of our brands, it was possible to reduce the amount of concrete needed for the construction of the Gotthard Base Tunnel by roughly 90,000 cubic meters. Another example, by using the digital solutions of Bluebeam in the construction phase, we can further help to reduce the consumption of paper on a construction site by up to 90%. In 2019, as an example, Bluebeam helped the construction industry to work on 32 million digitized documents instead of using paper as traditionally. In addition, also in the subsequent and operational phase of a building that can have integrated workplace management systems of our brand Spacewall, they help to substantially reduce the energy consumption, for example, via the smart management of lighting, heating, or ventilation systems. So even though we only looked at a very small fraction of our product portfolio, you can already get the idea of a wide range of a real-world applications where Nemetschek and our solutions can help our clients to build in a more resource-efficient and sustainable way. Let me now turn to our strategic initiatives, as mentioned before. In the past, we've often talked about our plans to implement more cross-brand projects. Today, I'm proud to present you two new innovations in the design segment. Both of them follow the overall objective to further improve the workflow in the construction industry. Led by my colleague Victor Varkany, who's spearheading as a CDO the design division, the first innovation presented mid of July is Integrated Design, a cross-brand workflow solution which will revolutionize the collaboration between architects, structural engineers, and civil engineers. With this integrated approach, it is possible for the first time that architects and engineers work together on one 3D model across disciplines, and that is great. This is a milestone for the industry and improves the efficiency in the collaboration process tremendously. Thanks to integrated design, same time unsynchronized work in silos and duplications are a thing of the past. Another innovation is our so-called SCIA autoconverter that significantly improves the current BIM workflow by integrating structural engineers much earlier in the BIM process. With our autoconverter, any 3D structural model can be converted into high-quality analysis models. This automated process saves time, and there is no need to rebuild analysis models completely from scratch. Additionally, we offer a central cloud storage and management platform powered by Altplan's BIM Plus product, so that all participants have the latest information available and there is no loss of data anymore. We will keep you in the loop about the progress and further steps, but this is really great news and I'm proud to report on them today. Moving on to page number 13, where we list some important cornerstones of our success and why we think Nemetschek as a group is well positioned in today's market. We have attractive end markets with still huge untapped potential for growth, a unique and widely spanning solutions portfolio, and hence a unique market position for customers, a strong business model creating great returns for our shareholders, a strong financial position, plus our proven ability to grow in parallel, both organically as well as via M&A. With our leading global brands, we have best-in-class solutions along the entire construction lifecycle and across all regions. All of those aspects we run in an operating mode through four strong divisions and with a fully committed and highly ambitious management team under one joint roof. Slide number 14 is supposed to give you an overview of where we stand in terms of the COVID-19 impact on our business after the first half. As already mentioned, we experienced a certain phasing in the effects of COVID-19 on our divisions and geographies. While Asia was impacted first, Europe and the US showed a strong slowdown already starting in Q2. Also, as expected, our license business was hit the hardest, while our recurring revenues showed a pleasantly resilient development. I believe our solid first half also shows that our initial and quickly implemented measures, in particular our cost-saving efforts, as well as our adapted sales and customer support measures to be more online than ever before, proved to be key in coping with this crisis. In addition, we even further increased our financial flexibility, as mentioned before. We therefore leave our set working assumptions, which also built the foundation for the 2020 guidance, mostly unchanged. We continue to expect a further normalization of the market conditions in the second half. However, in contrast to our initial assessment in March, after the better-than-feared second quarter, we believe that due to the postponement of some COVID-19 effects from Q2, and especially the high degree of uncertainty in the U.S. market, the slowdown could last into the third quarter at least. And also going forward, our responses will be guided by a clear set of principles, which are undoubtedly the safety of our employees and customers was and is our first priority. Then, in addition, all of our brands continuously seek to improve our measures to support and be with our customers with a great sense of creativity and strong commitment. And last but not least, also in the second half of this year, we will continue to steer our business on site and react fast and flexibly as new developments might arise, just as we have done in the recent months. We need to be prepared to always be able to pivot and adjust more than ever before. That we can do so, we have shown. And as we come to the end of my presentation, I would like to turn to our 2020 outlook on page 15. As a result of the very solid first half of the year, intact long-term growth trends in our relevant markets, our high proportion of more and better plannable revenues, as well as the broad regional and market-related diversification, we fully confirm our outlook for 2020. In particular, that means, from today's perspective, we expect at least stable to slightly growing revenues for the full year, despite a still certain environment. In addition, we're optimistic to comfortably reach the targeted profitability of an EBITDA margin of more than 26%. Our assessment is certainly based on the assumption that reluctance on the part of our customers will also continue in the third quarter before business development should gradually improve again. Rest assured that we will continue to monitor the situation very closely and that Nemetschek is well prepared to also take market opportunities out of the current situation, as we are convinced that in our product they have the right fit and we have the agility and financial strength to act. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention. I'm happy to take your questions now. So operator, please back to you.
Thank you. Now we will begin with our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the headset before making your selection. One moment, please. So we have the first question from Ben Burke from Barclays. Please go ahead, Ben.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on the good quarter. I would like to first come back around the H2 expectation, and I appreciate that there's still a lot of uncertainty and that you expect a weakening in the US. But just as a base case assumption, do you still expect a modest growth improvement in H2? I remember you mentioned at the Q2 results that you expect at the Q1 results that Q2 should be the trough. And related to that, it's great to see that you brought out some new products on the design side. Do you already expect a contribution from them in the second half? And then I also have a follow-up question.
Thank you. I wonder if your question probably was referring to the second half, not the second quarter. So if I understood correctly, the question was whether we would still expect a modest growth in the second half. And after the 7.6% in the first half, you can assume that there will be at least a flat, if not a modest growth in the second half for the group's total revenues. Then on the question of the new products, I'd be careful to substantially expect already a financial return as we just step by step bring these products to the market.
Okay. And then my other question is related to one of your competitors, which reported Hexagon, which reported quite strong growth in its design product, Rixis. And I just wondered to what extent you see any change in their competitive landscape and if any of the smaller players gaining any more traction against you or Autodesk.
No, I think it's a good question. We don't have at this point specific information about Hexagon taking market share by any means more than some of the other market players as Nemetschek or Autodesk.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the next question is from Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. Great job in a difficult environment, I think, in the second quarter. I have a couple of questions also regarding the new design/collaboration solution that you're offering. Who will be the ultimate payer of the solution? Will it be the big construction/AEC companies? Maybe you could provide some insight here and what the actual growth driver is, because as far as I know, all your software is already BIM-able, and obviously there was has been some reluctance to really use BIM models. So obviously you are trying to accelerate this trend. Maybe you could shed some light on this new solution from that perspective. And then also on the Q2 performance in design, so that was probably somewhat below its traditional performance. As far as I know, some smaller architects, for instance, had smaller demand or had less demand. Do you see a recovery of their demand going forward? Is it sufficient to assume that the low interest rate environment would already trigger high demand, or what's the actual bottleneck here? What were the issues? Was it that smaller investors have higher financial uncertainty? If you could provide some insights here as well, that would be helpful. And the last question is on the SaaS transition. Would it be right to assume that you would then be able to increase your revenue per customer while transitioning to the to SaaS? Thank you.
OK, Okay, thank you very much. Three excellent questions. I would say the first one, it would be a misunderstanding if those new products or functionalities, solutions that we have brought out in the recent weeks would really target the big construction companies. We're talking architectural and engineering companies really as the main target group for those. So thank you for allowing me to clarify. Then second, the smaller architects, which in a country like Germany, we have thousands of them being in a team size of less than 5 or 10 people, absolutely spot on. I think the interest rates would not really play a big role, as you mentioned in your question, for them to buy or buy not license. I think it's more overall the uncertainty whether there is a project from their end customers to be popping up or coming up or being launched in the second half. And that uncertainty, I think, is still in the market. I think even in Europe, it would be too optimistic to believe that this uncertainty was removed during the announcement of some stimulus programs. They still have to hit the road, I would say, personally. And then last but not least, SaaS. I mean, we're talking more really about the subscription than the true full-fledged SaaS models, which still is the minority in the Nemetschek portfolio. But yes, in general, this of course is the goal that we will go through a certain valley wherever you change or you introduce subscription as opposed to previously perpetual license. And that will have an impact on the revenues. But per customer base, I mean, this is the ultimate goal to really get the win-win established for also the customer, to give the customer also a different and alternative and more flexible bundling of functionalities, features, and products. And by doing so, also to upsell as a benefit here for Nemetschek, clearly. So to create the win-win.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the next question is from Martin Jumpfish from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions, and also congrats on a solid set of numbers. I have three questions, please. First of all, to come back on the macro side again in the second half, can you comment again a bit what you have seen during the last few months? Was, for example, June much better than May and April, and have you seen, for example, European demand come back in June and July, and U.S. demand weakening or so from May onwards, and is this weakening momentum there just an expectation or a effect? Then the second question is on the margin. I think your EBITDA margin was quite strong in the quarter and also in the first half, and you now need a margin of just 23% or so to make the guidance. You also mentioned that the strong margin was driven by Bluebeam partly, and your peer Autodesk hinted in their call that Bluebeam may have some catch-up to do in terms of capabilities. So should we expect any significant increase in sales and marketing or R&D expense in the second half and potentially also 2021? And if so, what would the magnitude in terms of margin reduction be? And then the third question is on partnerships. Recently, your peer Procore has signed a partnership with DocuSign to integrate e-signatures, for instance. Can you comment if you're also actively looking at some partnerships with other software vendors or resellers to integrate some products? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So on the first aspect, the margin, I think you're right in assuming that there's going to be a lower margin, which is also what we assume in the second half because of, for example, investments, risk mitigation, or personal expenses going up by a bit more active hiring, which really we have almost paused and clearly stalled in the past few months. Then on the second question of the month of May and June, you're right. Spot on. I think that is what we observed as well. And your question was hitting, I think, the nail on the head in regards to development in the prefix for Europe as well as in the US. That is exactly what we also observed. and that's continuing currently. And then last not least, the partnerships, yes. I don't know if there's going to be one answer to this question, because each of the brands and the business units has their own ecosystem of potential partners or existing partners already. If that question also was related to Bluebeam, which I'm not sure, please correct me if I'm wrong, then yes, some of our big brands are going in exactly that direction, which is already the case, that you could find them in some of the platforms or partnerships portals as well to be integrated there as well. And that to me is also the right philosophy, and it fits very well to the open philosophy that we in general try to advocate to the market and to customers.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the next question is from Knut Wöhrer from Baader. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you. Three questions. The first one on the operating cash flow. You highlighted the strong performance in H1, which is true still. The operating cash flow was only growing 1% in the second quarter. So can you share here some light on the development? And then secondly, also on your expectations for the second half. Particularly, are you seeing also customers asking for extended payment terms to weather the current slowdown in their demand? Secondly, on deferred revenues, we also saw, I think, a sequential slowdown or decline of 5% compared to Q1, and also slowing growth in absolute terms, down to 13%, still good. But can you share here some light, shed some light on the development and also your expectation for the remainder of the year? And then lastly, in the design segment, can you give some insight into the development of the different brands or the major brands in design? I would assume, based on your comments, that Allplan fared a bit better than, for example, than potentially also looking at Graphisoft in some regions like the UK. And can you give here some insight into the development of Graphisoft, Vectorworks, and Allplan? Thank you.
Okay, there was a lot of questions. Guys, you're giving us a hard time to keep track with all the questions. First, in terms of the operating cash flow, I think no surprise that in the first quarter, typically the way many of our service contracts, for example, are structured, is that we would get them pre-billed and prepaid mainly upfront, so that's typically hitting the first quarter if you compare quarter over quarter, and if you compare the first with the second one. Then also in the second quarter, I think you will remember that we would have paid the dividend, for example, out of this as a major effect in that quarter as well, and that was higher than the previous year. Then on the deferred revenues, also, I mean, due to a slowdown, if we only grow, without the foreign exchange gain, basically having a flat development in the second quarter, no surprise that deferred revenues also would go down as a consequence from the last quarters before that.
And additionally, perhaps we always have this strong increase at the beginning of the year. And then, of course, we also see a slight increase again in the first, in the second half, at the beginning of second half. And that's why usually in the second quarter, deferred revenues are a little bit, I would say, weaker.
Excellent. And are you so kind to repeat the third question, where we got lost in terms of the Allplan, the Graphisoft, and what you had exactly?
Simply insight into the development of demand for the different brands within the design segment. So for the major three brands you're having, how they developed in the second quarter?
I'd be surprised if we break out individual developments and financial performances on the business unit and brand level. Please understand that we will probably not do this in this call.
Okay. Surprised, but I take it that way. Thanks.
Thank you. I mean, they all follow basically, the ones that you mentioned follow really in the category of the design segment. And I would not say there was a big difference from the overall design development and those specific ones, because they make up 80% of the design in terms of volume. Operator.
Thanks. So the next question is from Florent Trish from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I have three questions as well, if I may. The first one, if you can remind us on your sensitivity to the euro-US dollar, FX rate on revenues and EBITDA, anticipating whatever your hedges you have in place. The second one is, if I look at the P&L, I believe in the other line, the EBITDA was negative 6 million after 4 million in Q1 and probably a similar level closer to 4 million in the quarters before. Have you booked here some kind of special cost, whatever relating to M&A, booked provision, one-offs? Any comment you can make here? And the last one is on, if I look at your revenue mix, given lower share of license revenue, higher share of subscription, I believe this in theory must mean a clear negative mix effect on EBITDA. Still, you were able to keep it, i.e., costs are well under control. The question is a bit, can you quantify this level, and can you say if a good portion of that might be sustainable also in the coming quarters, i.e., you will also going forward not any longer travel as much, save on real estate or whatever, to really get a feeling if that was like a longer term positive effect. Thank you.
Thank you for the good question. So we'd like to start with trying to answer the sensitivity aspect of the USD. I mean, it's clearly for us the most important currency. We're not hedging that currency currently at all, I have to say, other than the natural hedge that we have from the US-based operations. Therefore, we can assume that between 2 and 3 million per cent against the euro, that is the translation into the P&L. And as we've seen, the development was at 118 or 119, even this morning. This is quite extreme, and that's partially also factored into our projections here for the second half, to be more on the careful side, knowing that this can change quickly again, but just being a bit more careful. Then on the cost side, yes, of course, I think it's a good point that if we were just to continue the run rate where we operate the company at currently into the coming months, then of course we could take some of those savings into also the second half. However, as we indicated, that we are getting a bit more confident than what we used to or what we were in February, March back then. We're also encouraging the teams to look at specific investment opportunities and also hiring opportunities a bit more proactively than what was done in the last 3 to 4 months. That having said, again, we have not yet seen anything related to the payment terms. There was no indication that the DSO, for example, did worsen a lot. If that was part of the question, that when we were going to the market so far, that was not visible. However, it's a good point because it's also on our radar screen to carefully watch the business development and just be prepared, and maybe also factor into the simulation and the models for the second half something in there that could go in that negative direction. But again, so far, knock on wood, not really materialized. Did that answer the questions?
Yes, more or less. Maybe just on this other EBITDA, this negative 6 million to negative 4 million in Q1, if that is like a one-off or something special in it.
I'm not sure, but I think this is partly related to some risk mitigation that we also took on the balance sheet here on the company's group level, related to some of the points that we touched in this call already.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So the next question is from Josh Webb from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions, please. Firstly, you've talked about the potential headwinds in the second half as the US bears the brunt of the current crisis, and part of that is the timing of the outbreaks. But I guess it's also true that your US business is more skewed to the general contractor end user by Bluebeam than the European business, which is more design segment focused. So are there any fundamental differences you expect in terms of the impact as a result of that difference in mix? And then secondly, based on your discussions with your customers and your indirect channels, can you talk a little bit about how you view the health of your core design customer base, which is quite SMB exposed? And we supposedly have government support schemes phasing out around Q4. So how has churn trended? And if there's any insight you can provide anecdotally as to their confidence levels or outlooks, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. So on the first one, I think your assumption is correct when it comes to the nature of the business, that clearly Bluebeam is a U.S. dominant play, and hence it's a big portion of the U.S. revenues overall, but it's certainly not the only one. And quite frankly, I don't expect that the mix of nature of the business will change per se. It's just that everything in the U.S., to my expectation, will potentially risk to be impacted, be it what you mentioned or be it the architectural and design and also media and entertainment business that we have there. So you just think of a big brand that we are operating in the U.S. with called Vectorworks, for example, where, you know, the event locations and business are literally down, and hence we see impact in that area. And Bluebeam, again, we see the slowdown, and that is due to exactly what you mentioned, which is the construction project and the uncertainty and the outlook to whether how many, if at all, will be started and rolled out, given the uncertainties there. So that was the question. I'm looking at my notes.
So what I understood is that you ask about the changing situation in our customer base regarding churn rates and so on. Is that right, George?
Yeah, perfect.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, so far I would say the customers have been quite loyal. I mean, when you have maintenance contracts, you have a subscription contract, a licenses, and when you're up for renewal, and when you have a cancellation possibility, basically, that is typically then where we watch our dashboards and KPIs and try to see whether customers renew, and we haven't seen really a lot of that going away, basically business, you know, going away. But the longer the uncertainty, goes on, of course, the more likely a risk is that for the coming, windows of opportunity, so to speak, for customers, to go in that direction against basically a resubscription are going up clearly. And that's part of the respect that we just have, for the coming months. And we might be better knowing by the end of Q3, but so far that clearly is a question mark that we cannot fully answer.
That's helpful, thank you. If I can, I'd just squeeze in a couple more questions. I think firstly, just from Germany, you pointed out that still grew in the second quarter, and I know the comp was slightly easier, but even so, that still seems like a good result. Is there anything in particular with regards to Germany that drove that? And then just secondly, in media and entertainment, can you talk a little bit about the measures that are involved with the integration of Red Giant? That would be good. Thank you.
Yeah, let me focus on the second, maybe, because that is indeed interesting, and we've been not talking enough, to my personal impression, on the vision, media, and entertainment. So what we're doing there is really what I would call a full-fledged integration. Everything will be integrated. You know, the product portfolio, the business model, the go-to-market, the sales organization, the resellers agreement, the terms and conditions, the organization, the management team, everything down to the branding. So that's where we go step by step, and this will take still 6 to 9 months in order to complete. But I have to say congratulations to Dave McGavran, the CEO who's running that worldwide business for us in Maxon. The team and himself, they're doing a great job and they're progressing well, but it is something that I think Nemetschek as a group goes through for the first full time, really, in that detail and depth of an integration.
And the second question regarding the German market, you thought there is a slight increase in the second quarter, so that's really not true. We had a negative growth of around 2.5% in the second quarter, and for the first half we had a slight increase in Germany. So it's really, there's not really a difference regarding Germany and the other European countries. Of course, Germany did quite well, but not really very, very strong compared to the other European countries.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have another question from Sean Breslin and from Mainfirst. Please go ahead.
So, hello, just Chandra, we do not hear you, perhaps you are still on mute, so you have to change the system and perhaps we can hear your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Perfect.
All right, sorry about that. Congrats on a good quarter. I just have a couple of questions since most of my questions have been answered. Firstly, on the SaaS business, it's about a third of the maintenance now, so I just want to get a sense of the profitability of SaaS versus the maintenance business. Is it on its way to catch up with maintenance? And my second question is on recovery, just to get a sense of how we should look at recovery. Obviously, Asia-Pac leads this. Would you give us some sense of how Japan is recovering in Q2 or your expectations into Q3? That would be helpful. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Let's start with the second part. Japan is traditionally one of our biggest markets, but it's also been down really in the second quarter. So parts of Asia, as we, I think, talked about in March, pockets of the business showed some weakness, but Japan was still okay in the first quarter, but then really went down also a few percentage points year-over-year comparison in the second quarter. And then the profitability, I'm struggling to break out now individual profitability levels for what is subscription, what is SaaS, and which business unit and which brand, because it's not substantial, and I think it's also diverse and it's also heterogeneous amongst the brands. It's and also I think Nemetschek still needs to collect a bit of experience in ramping up and managing that part of the recurring revenues.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, operator. Do you have further questions or are there no questions anymore?
Yes, we have a last question from Andrew Dubovsky from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. I'm not sure if this has already been answered, so I apologize, but maybe if you could provide us some color on the linearity of the quarter, Q2, like, for example, how did June do versus April, May, and maybe let us know how July is shaping up relative to the different regions that you market into. I'm particularly interested in the North American market. Thanks.
Yeah, hi, Andrew. And yes, I think we touched on this question earlier already. There was a comment asking, if I recall correctly, whether it is correct to assume that Europe was still down in April, May, and slightly recovered then in June, but the U.S. went with the inverse prefix, so really worsening in May and June. And I think we basically said that this is a correct assumption and would have continued in the month of July as far as we see it.
Got it. And I'm sorry, did you also address the different segments, like in terms of how they were trending?
Yeah, I mean, you mean the design versus build, for example, and manage? Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, no. So starting from the last upwards, then I think manage and operate was impacted a bit more than the others, being a dominant U.S. And European play by the inability of accessing really customers' premises. I think that was a major impact. Build so far doing okay, really, with also a little bit of a recovery here for a brand like Novares in Europe, but Bluebeam still doing okay. But then trending downwards really starting in May already, and then clearly seeing that in June, and again that would continue with an overall slightly more negative sentiment than for the entire U.S. businesses that we would have. And then design, we would talk about the individual, there was commentaries on a graphics of an Alpha. I think we would simplify by saying that they all would have been following almost the same pattern, that Q2 was clearly impacted on the license side and attachment still for the service agreement, as well as the very little minor part of subscription Brazilian Ignectable that they have was still doing okay, but predominantly a license play, and that was clearly hit here as well as in the U.S.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. So there's not any further question at this moment. Please go ahead, Peter. Hi, speaker. There's no any further question at now. You may please proceed.
Perfect. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for your questions. So if you have any question afterwards, Axel and I are available. So thank you all, and have a nice afternoon.
I think Steffi has deserved a great vacation now, too. Thank you very much from our end, and goodbye.
Exactly. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has now been concluded. You may disconnect.